they are safe. Praise the Lord. We want to say again that we're honored to be here this morning. Appreciate your pastor, Brother Vernon Jarvis, and appreciate the vision that God's placed upon his heart and for this church and the vision that this church has. I'm so glad to know that there are still churches that have a global mindset when it comes to souls and the work and the compassion of God, that we understand it's not just, as the old phrase goes, us four and no more, but there's 7 billion people in this world, and somehow or another, Paul was able to say in his day that he's free from the blood of all men. That doesn't mean he reached every man, but he was able to equip people that could reach them. And I certainly believe that's our commission in this 21st century, to raise up as many men and women as we can, to go forth and send the light. I may not be able to go to every place, you may not be able to go to every place, but if we can raise up men and women that can go to those places, and we can stand before God and say, we've done what we could do with what you placed in our hands. Amen. That's a part of our calling, a part of our vision. Now, we are evangelists, but part of what we do, I'd say about once a quarter, we find ourselves overseas somewhere. Lord willing, tomorrow morning, I'll be heading out to Eastern Europe. Be there, I'll fly into Budapest and then get down to Croatia and get over to Ukraine. In Western Ukraine, they call the Transcarpathia region. Brother Harvey Moore and myself will be there together. I was there last year, and they said in that Western Carpathia region, they said, you're the first Americans to ever step foot in these villages. In fact, their idea of Americans, especially when it comes to full gospel believers, were I guess what word I'm looking for, just maybe like a kind of a super charismatic thing. And they were very, very distrusting of us all. And so they basically sat down and interviewed us, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. And as we spoke to those ministers, you could see how their eyes were just lightened to be able to say, wow, there's real Christianity in America. And, you know, are you the only two? Are there any others? I said, oh, don't worry. There's many more. That's not just us two. And I'll never forget, they wrote us back and they said, one said, I have never prayed for America a day in my life. They said, all that's changed now with this visit. God has showed us that there are holy God's people in the United States. And we're going to start praying for your nation every day. I realize we live in a wicked nation. I understand that. I realize this nation is running at breakneck speed into judgment. But God still has a remnant of men and women that are calling on the name of the Lord. And if you want to know what's holding this thing together, it's not Democrats and it's not Republicans. It's a handful of full gospel believers that are still interceding to God and asking the Lord to have mercy. Can somebody say amen? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, I know that you do. Please turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, verse number 1. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1 this morning. I want to begin reading verses 1 through 5, and I want to move down to verse number 11. Colossians 3, verse number 1. When you get there, would you say amen? If you're looking for it, it's on page 763 in my Bible. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse number 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Drop down to verse 11, please. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, Paul says, I've come to that place in my life where everything I do, all that I am, every decision that I make is filtered through this one mindset and heart. Does it glorify God? Is it walking as he would walk? Is it doing what he would do? Christ is now everything to me. I want to speak to us for a few moments this morning. Are you going to help me this day? All right, that's about half. I'll take what I can get and work with the rest. I want to speak to us for just a few moments this morning, if the Lord had helped me, when Christ is all. When Christ is all. Would you be so kind to slip up your hands to heaven, lift your voice to heaven one more time and ask the Lord to have His way. Father, I thank You for these precious people this morning. I thank You for this church. I thank You for the opportunity, God, to simply share the Word of God this morning. I pray, let the Word of the Lord have free course in this tabernacle. I pray, let the Word of God prevail and multiply. I ask You in the name of Jesus, don't let anybody leave here the same way that they've come in. But I pray, let every heart be searched. Let every man and woman draw closer to God. This may just be the last chance we have in the last service that we share. I pray in the name of God, Lord, meet us around these altars. And for this I give You the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everyone said amen. Would you shake the hand of the person sitting beside you if you're close beside them? Smile and tell them, I'm glad to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. You can shake your wife's hand. That's legal. You can do that. Wind up buying her flowers on the way home, huh? Tell you what. Let me ask you a question this morning. Now, don't answer this openly, but do answer this honestly. Is Jesus Christ really everything to you? Is He all in all? Do you really absolutely desire and love Him with all, A-L-L, 100% of your heart? I want you to understand this morning, beloved, it's not simply saying that I give Jesus a place. After all, I'm in the house of God on Sunday morning. That's very obvious. You would not say, well, I didn't give Jesus a place. Of course you did. For the very fact that you are here today lets me know that you have given Jesus a place in your life. But Jesus does not deserve, and no, Jesus doesn't even demand a place. But what Jesus desires, and what Jesus deserves, and what Jesus demands is preeminence in our life. To be first, to be everything, to be all in all. That's what God desires. Can you say amen? I've been with Jesus a lot of places, and I can be honest with you, there's been some places overseas of sure. I thought to myself, how did I ever get into this kind of trauma? How did I ever get in this position? But I can tell you one thing, Brother Greg, He's been with me in some high places, and He's been with me in some low places. He's been with me in some tight places and some hard places. I can tell you one place I've never been with Jesus, and He'll never be with me, that second place, because all that Jesus desires is to be first place in my life. And what He desires in your life, Brother Atkins, He wants to be first in all that you are and all that you have. He wants to be first in your desires, first in your life. That's what Jesus must be. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, the old saints of God would say, He isn't Lord at all. That's right. Friend, hear me this morning. We must come back to that place again where we say, God, I desire to absolutely make You everything in my life, where God is all in all. I remember speaking to a friend of mine, and he was waiting in line. In fact, he was waiting to vote in line, and there was a man in front of him, and he found out he was a preacher. And Brother Parker, that preacher looked at him, and he said, well, do you go to church anywhere? And he said, well, he said, I'm not an atheist, which means he would not believe in God. He said, I am an apatheist. In other words, he says, I have apathy when it comes to God. He said, it doesn't matter if there is a God or there's not a God. He says, well, there's nothing God can do against me or for me. I got news for that man. That man's wrong. There is a living God. There is a God that can do and can wish. Amen. There is a God that sits high on the throne, and we must never fall into that same category. We shrug our shoulders at God Almighty. He's still the beginning and the end. He's still the Alpha and Omega. He's still the bright and morning star. He's still worthy of our praise. We must make Him everything in our life. Him or hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Friend, now you and I could sit here this morning and we can say to ourselves, well, sure, Jesus is everything to me. After all, I can look at that person beside me. I think I'm probably a little bit better than they are. Oh, maybe there's one over here. I think I'm a little bit better than they are. So I'm sure Jesus is everything to me. But when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. And that's what Paul does for us. Paul allows us to see and ask our own self questions. Is He really everything to me? In verse number 1, he said, if Christ be risen, seek those things that are above. He said in verse number 2, set your affections on things above. He said in verse number 5,
I mortify therefore your members. If I were to alliterate that, I would say to seek, to set, and to slay. And we have to ask ourselves, is he really everything to me? Well, let me ask you a question, beloved. Are you truly seeking him with all of your heart? Have you set your mind upon him with everything within you? Have you slayed and mortified the deeds of this whole body? Is he everything to you? Well, then ask ourselves, am I truly seeking him with everything within me? If Jesus Christ really is everything to me, then that tells me, Brother Taylor, Jesus must captivate my ambitions. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and not on earth. Come on here, friend. Friend, what you seek after is what you are ambitious about. And Christ tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to tell you something, beloved. The devil does not care what you seek after just so long as you do not seek after God with everything within you. You can seek after wealth. You can seek after fame and all those things. And that's exactly what this world is trying to put in our hearts and lives today. And we would be so ambitious. Ambitious to get ahead. Ambitious to have more things. Ambitious to have more stuff. And hear me, friend, I'm not against a man being blessed financially. That's wonderful if he is. But if that's the only thing that captivates your heart, I can assure you Christ is not everything to you. Say amen. We got a world that is head over heels with rock stars and sports stars. They can tell you about every team. They can tell you about every statistic. But when you said, let's go to the house of God, they yawn at it. Dear mercy, if you're more thrilled with some basketball team and you are the Son of God, you've never been captivated by the living God. Joan of Arc said, every man gives their life for what they believe in. It's just that most people don't believe in very much. And I can assure you today, there's people sitting on a couch, reaching in and eating Cheetos and flipping the channel and seeing what star, basketball, football, whatever season's in right now, has the greatest stats. Amen. That's all they're giving their life for. That's all they want to give. Dear God, help us. We've got to come back, Brother Greg. We've got to train them youngins that there's more to it than this world. There's more to it than this world. I'm not against education. I'm all for it. But you can have a PhD. You can have a Master's of Arts and all the above. But if Jesus isn't everything unto you, then something's wrong with your spiritual experience. We got to come back. We got to say, Lord, renew me. Revive me. Shake me, Lord. Shape me. Whatever it would take, but renew a right spirit within me. I've heard people say before, but Park, I've seen them say, now you young people, now you're about to graduate high school, I want you to go make all the money you can just so long as you do it legally, and everybody's supposed to laugh at that point. If you make all the money you can so long as you do it quote unquote legally, you'll miss out on some very important times in your life when you should be shut in with God, where you could be making memories with those babies. And for the most part, Brother Bright, I'm afraid we're raising a generation to be successful failures. Oh, they're successful, but they're successful at the wrong things. They're great at what they never should be doing to begin with. They can do it awesome, but it has nothing to do with eternal value in the things of God. They can do it, they can talk it, they can make it happen. They know how to work it, they know how to make projects fly, and they know how to make a dime and a dollar and all the above, but they haven't put Jesus first. I'm talking to somebody today. What captivates your heart? What really grips your heart? What really absolutely takes your heart? Whatever captivates your heart is a God unto you. Does Jesus still captivate you? Does the thought of his presence still make you weep? Or have you been carried away with the vain philosophies of the world that's on its way to destruction? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that word spoil there in the Greek literally means to be carried away. carried away with. And have you ever seen a generation like this generation carried away with things?
Yep, well, I'm going to get out there. And I know I'm all the way up in Kentucky, but you understand what I mean when I say alligator water? I'm getting out a little bit of alligator water right here. And we've got people, forget teenagers, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s years old. And all they can do is sit at a computer all day and say, in my pajamas, eating cereal, send. Too much information, hello. They're carried away with it. They're absolutely carried away with it. They know what everybody else is doing. They know what every other church is doing. They know everybody that's backslid. They know everybody that's compromised because they posted those pictures on there. And evidently they're proud of their compromising. And they're so ate up with it. And they're so enamored with it. And they forgot that Paul said, you don't get carried away with that kind of garbage. You put your heart on the things of the Lord. Well, what about what they did? I know what they did was bad, but that's not what's captivating you. What captivates you is still things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just. If there be any virtue or any praise, we're to have our hearts think on these things.
Say amen. Friend, if Jesus Christ is everything to me, that means Jesus captivates me. If Jesus Christ is really everything to me, not only does he captivate my ambitions, Jesus dominates my attention. Verse number 2, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Friend, your affection there, literally, it means your mind. He's to captivate my heart. He's to dominate my mind. Does that mean I walk around all day just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus? No, no, no. That's vain repetition. But there again, don't answer this openly, but do answer this honestly within your heart. What dominates your thoughts? Pray, honey, pray. What really dominates your mind? Friend, if you want to know what is going to dominate your mind, let me give you two areas. I can assure you, this will be what dominates your mind. What is allowed through your ears and what's allowed through your eyes will wind up in your mind.
Hello?
And you want to know why some people, Jesus isn't everything to them? Because they can't get back in that car for 2 seconds without turning back on the honky-tonk, mama left me and I'm going to get another alcoholic drink and all that. Those are the things that's going to say, amen. Those are the things that are going in their ears. And now that's the things that dominate their mind. They are so infatuated with those things. They've listened to that over and over. They've turned on that radio and listened to garbage over and over. They've sat around tables and listened to gossip over and over. And it dominates their mind and they cannot think on the things that God would have them think upon.
Now you ain't gonna believe this. But I'm in town the other day. And I stop at this red light and this guy pulls up next to me and I'm in my car, my window's up, and I can hear in his car have y'all got that go over here?
Does
he commute from London to Elizabethtown? Does he go back and forth?
And I'm telling you what, Brother Bright, I mean, you're stopped at the red light. You can't not help but to hear it. And whoever he's listening to on his CD or whatever it is he's listening to, I can assure you that's an angry man. The words spew out anger. The words spew out rebellion. The words spew out hatred for authority. Downgrading police officers and everything else under the sun. And you know what? As angry as the man that's singing, that's as angry as that man is, I look over and I look inside of the car that's got that music playing, and the guy that's driving, he looks like this.
Brother Coots, I said, that's an angry man.
don't know why he's angry. Because all that ever goes in his mind is anger and hate and rebellion and sin. Say amen. It's what's allowed in your ears that winds up in your mind. Friend, you hear me. I realize you go to Walmart. You can't help but to hear that stuff come over that intercom. But there's a whole lot more to say about what you get alone with yourself with and what you purposely allow inside of you. I wish somebody would help me preach this morning. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ is everything to me, and I have to say, Lord, let me guard what comes in my ears. Let me guard what comes in my eyes. Remember, I was in Sudan 1 year. We just touched down. I mean, I've been up for 23, 24 hours. And they told me, they said, it's okay. They said, the army will be there. Praise God. I said, great, great, great. And it's the army, all right. It's the Arabian army, the bad guys. And I mean, that guy is packing some kind of heat. And I get off that little four-seater plane, and it's not an airport, it's just a dirt landing strip. Brother Jarvis, he looks at me, he says, Salam, which is that Islamic way of saying peace. And I mean, my brain is so cloudy, I hadn't slept. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I say back? Do I say back Shalom? Should I say back Shalom? Well, that's the Hebrew way of saying peace. I don't want to go into full dissertation of why that's bad, but trust me, you don't want to say that to an Islamic man over there. You don't want to look at him and smile and say, Israel has a right to your land. Just let you know it's not yours, Abraham. Never mind. Okay. And he says, right, great. He says to me again, he says, Salam. He says, Salam. I say, howdy. How y'all doing? He smiles and he lets me pass. Moral story, there's some hills that aren't worth dying over. Hallelujah. Well, I start going down that road. Brother Cooch, there's these couple of ladies, they're crossing the road. And as they're crossing that road, they're not walking normally, gracefully, like a lady would naturally carry herself. When they walk across the road, they literally buckle their neck. And they look just like a cow walking across that street. And I looked at that, I said, did you see that? And Brother Bassem, he said, I saw that, Brother Estes. He said, do you know what that is? I said, I don't know what that is, but here's what I believe that is. I'm not saying that they're Hindu. I'm not saying that they're, but whatever they are, this is what I know. They have to worship cattle because that lady has stared at that thing so long. She has stared at it for so much that she has began to take on the attributes of the very cow that she has focused on. What are you saying, Brother Estes? I'm telling somebody, you always become what you behold. If you behold the trash of this world, you will become that trash. If you behold the filth of this world, you become that filth. But if you turn your eyes unto Jesus and look all into His glorious grace, He has a way of changing you. He has a way of transforming you. He has a way of conforming you into the image of God's darling son. Someone say amen. So what dominates your mind? What truly captivates my heart? I got to close. Give me just a minute. Verse number 5. Mortify, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, for in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. Brother Jarvis, if Jesus is truly everything to Zane, then number one, Jesus captivates my ambitions. Jesus dominates my attention. Jesus regulates my actions. If Jesus is truly everything to you, then it does matter where I go. It does matter what I say. It does matter how I treat a brother. how I treat a sister. And you know what? It even matters what I say about them when they're not in my presence. It matters because Jesus regulates my life. Oh God, help us today. Jesus regulates. He said, let no filthy communication come out of that mouth. Oh, Brother Estes, I got that down. I would never say a swear word. I wouldn't even say a slang word. I'm glad you would never say swear words, and thank God you don't say slang words or anything close to it or any one of those alternative words, because you don't really want to say the same word. That means your heart's wrong. Don't even go down that direction. But you understand filthy communication that proceeds out of your mouth is more than foul words and swear words. It's how you speak about somebody. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And if Jesus regulates my life, then Jesus, it matters what I say, it matters what I do, it matters where I go, it matters how I live when I'm all by myself. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Now, there'll be some people, they leave the house of God, and without knowing, they've kind of got this, they've got this grading list going on. Loudness, whew, yeah, that was a little too much. Time, well, he could have cut it a little bit shorter. Okay, it seemed halfway well done. Comments, criticisms, threats. Okay. Hello. It's kind of like, oh, you don't have anybody, let's just think of some names. Henry and Doris, you don't have that, huh? All right, Pillars of the Assembly, I'll just make that up. Just because there's not too many people that know about that. Thank God. It's like, she looks at her husband. She says, Henry, did you notice that the choir was a little flat today? Did you notice that? He looked back at his wife and he said, honey, I'll be honest, I didn't even notice the choir was a little flat. She said, well, surely you noticed that the preaching was just a little bit weak today. Didn't you notice that? He said, honey, I'll be honest with you. I didn't notice that the preaching was... Surely you noticed that couple in front of us, the one with the kids. Surely you noticed those kids. Those kids. And he said, honey, I'll be honest with you. I never even noticed that. She said, you know what? Sometimes I wonder why you even bother going to church. If Jesus is really everything to me, that means even when I don't feel like getting in and worshiping God, it's no longer up to me. Because God, you're all, and you're everything. And it's not about my feeling. And it's not about where that, I got that little chill bump right there. So now I know that has to be God telling me to get up and worship Him. No, none of that stuff. I've already dead to that. I have died to that old man. I'm renewed in that new man now. And Jesus, you captivate my ambitions. You dominate my attention. You regulate my actions. And I will worship you because you're worthy to be worshiped. When I leave this house, I'll have the same praise upon my lips as I did when I first came here. I'm asking somebody this morning, is Jesus really everything to you? Hey, Sister Estes, can you help me this morning? Is Jesus right? Does He really captivate me like He used to? What am I allowing in my eyes? What am I allowing in my ears that's going to wind up in my mind that's either going to help me keep my attention on Jesus? Brother Taylor's going to pull my attention away from Jesus. And oh, how the proverb said it so well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You ever seen some of them folks? I mean, all they think about all day long, basketball, 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 basketball. I know where I am. Kentucky, I realize that. Okay. I know that. And there are some people so carried away with it. They don't want to say it. They don't want to admit it. one day you'll stand before God, and better to hear it from me than him. And Jesus says, I wasn't everything to you. I was on your list of things. You gave me a place, but you never gave me preeminence. You checked me off like you did a grocery store run. But I was never Lord in your life. Oh, I believe God has brought a preacher by this morning to simply ask someone in this house one question. Is Jesus Christ really everything to you? Honey, you can start anytime you like. It doesn't matter how elderly you may be. You may be as young as Josiah. I don't know. Maybe younger. But I believe God is asking us a question this morning. Am I everything to you? I gave you my everything. Have you given me yours? Oh, but I've given him place. I know, and that's the problem. Good always becomes the enemy of best. Sometimes when we give Jesus a good place, Jesus, surely you'll be happy over here. And Jesus shakes his head and he says, no. I'll not give my glory to another. I didn't plan on saying this, but I just feel like saying this. I believe if God had a theme, perhaps a motto, if we could say it that way. If we could capitalize his very essence, I believe he would say to this to you and me, it's found in Isaiah 42:8. He says, I am the Lord. And that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. I am the Lord, he said, that is my name. In my glory, I'll not give unto another. I'll not share it with any superstar. I'll not share it with any pay raise. I'll not share it with any educational. You fill in the blank. I just threw a few out there, and I'm not. And you say, well, you didn't label mine. That must be unclear. No. Don't get around it legalistically like that. Open up your heart and say, God, is there anything? Is there anything? Is there anything would keep you from being everything to me? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open. Oh God, I wonder in this house this morning. Now don't do this because I'm asking you to, or this is the time where we normally do, and that's what everybody does here. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how everybody does it here. But I just want to have an open moment with you. You're here this morning, and you honestly say, Brother Estes, I want Jesus to be everything to me. I want Jesus to have preeminence in my life. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand quietly. Just slip up your thank you. So keep it up for just a moment. Just yes. I want Jesus to be everything to me. Now some of you can put your hand down. Thank you. God bless you. Some of you couldn't raise your hand this morning. Some of you didn't raise your hand this morning. And I want to talk to you for just a moment. I want to let you know that there is such thing as a heaven and a hell. It's a reality, and no matter what a college professor may say, no matter what a philosopher may write, friend, there's a heaven and hell that's more real than the pew you're sitting on this morning. And I can assure you, you don't get in simply by good works. You don't get in because your grandmother invited you to church. You don't get in because you helped somebody cross a road or gave to some nonprofit organization.
The only way to make it into heaven is to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So you're here this morning, you say, Brother Estes, I didn't raise my hand, and perhaps I'm not willing today to come down to that altar, but I want to be made willing to be willing. I really want God to start dealing with me. You say there's a real God. I want Him to start dealing with me. He will if you open up your heart. He will if you open up your life. So for just a moment, because I'm really talking to the church this morning, but for just a moment for you, you say, Brother Estes, I'm going to ask you to pray that I'd be willing to be made willing. If that's a prayer you'd like to pray, would you slip up your hand to heaven and say, that's me, preacher. I really want to be made willing. I'm not there yet, but I want to be made willing. Thank you much. Now for those that raise your hands, I believe God's going to answer that prayer this morning. And here's how I believe God's going to start answering it. You're going to start noticing things. God's going to start bringing practical things to your life. It may not be a shout. It may not be a clap of thunder. It may not be a bolt of lightning. It may be a still small voice. It just softly puts His finger on certain areas and says, give that to me. Turn that over to me. Don't put that in between us. That's robbing you of the greater good. That's robbing you of something greater. A walk with God. There were many that raised their hands, and I believe God's going to answer that with everything within me. I believe God's going to answer that. And if you did this morning, you raised your hands. Perhaps you did not, but you desire to. I want you to step out from where you're sitting this morning. Would you do that? Just slip out from where you're sitting this morning. And would you come meet me around these altars? Just everyone that would. Just slip out from where you're sitting. Everyone that raised your hand, would you just slip out from where you're sitting and just come. I want you to make an altar. I want you to begin to ask the Lord to solidify that in your heart. Don't let this just be a message that, well, we came Sunday morning and we were gone and that's all there was to it. Let this be a time where God deals with you. Speaks to you. And you leave this altar, say, I know I've settled it with the Lord.